We're glad you're here. Welcome to The Rock Church. If you are new, my name is Brian Daniel Edwards, and I am one of the pastors at The Rock Church. Give it up for pastors. Amen. Pray for your pastors. We need it. I might be a familiar face, I might not, but I'm mostly over at the Friday night location in Taylorsville, so if you want to come hang out on the west side, it gets real, y'all. So come stop by sometime. So, just want to say Merry Christmas. You know, obviously you guys are here. We're glad you're here. Maybe this is your first time coming, so I just want to say from the bottom of our heart, thank you for being our guest. We are so glad that you came to hang out with us on a Saturday night. And I dressed up for you. I don't dress up often, but I don't know if you noticed. It's not an ugly sweater, but it is just a beautiful t-shirt. So I thought I'd wear this for y'all, so you're welcome. That's free. But so if you did not already figure it out, it's Christmas time, right? And all the believers said,
amen.
Amen. We here at the Rock Church, we love Christmas. We love Jesus. So naturally, Christmas, like, it's our thing, right? Like, it is ours. It's ours, right? We own it. We love Christmas carols and the stockings and the hot chocolate and eggnog and the Christmas sweaters and the cat t-shirts and the nativity scenes and the time with our friends and family, Christmas parties, white elephant gift exchanges, amen. Like, we own all of that, right? We love it. But all of those things don't even hold a candle as to why we are so pumped when it comes to Christmas. Christmas is a big deal to us because Christmas is about Jesus. And if it weren't for Jesus, this time of year would be pointless. If Jesus had never come into this world, there would be no Christmas. There would be nothing to celebrate, nothing to be remembered, nothing to be excited about. But Jesus has come. And our lives have been changed, and I am here to brag about my king a little bit tonight, if that's okay with y'all. Christmas is that time of year where we remember the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, like we've sang many times this evening. But you see, there's this epidemic, because every year we run into this issue that can so easily spoil the whole point of Christmas. I like how E.B. White said it. He says, to perceive Christmas through its wrapping becomes more difficult with every year. And that's true. That's a battle that we face every single Christmas season. With the Christmas trees and the stockings and the gifts and the bows and the presents and the wrapping and the papers and the gift receipts and the, oh no, did I forget anybody? And oh, is the mall going to close in 30 minutes? Are you serious? And just Christmas gets us so distracted. Some of you right now, you just got sidetracked. I mentioned E.B. White, and you went, wait, isn't that the dude who wrote Charlotte's Web? Does little Mikey have that? Hold on, let me get, oh, Amazon, boom, it'll be here Monday, right? Like, that's true. Like, we get distracted. Something about Christmas just makes it justifiable for us to spend ridiculous amounts of more money on others than was ever logical the rest of the entire year. It's like January through November. We're like, okay, I'm going to stay reasonable. Honey, I need you to hold me accountable. I can't get out of control. We got this budget. We want to pay off debt. Let's be realistic with our money. And then Christmas in December rolls around, and it's like, see you next year, budget. See you January 1. We'll try again next year. I mean, Christmas is 1 week away, and there are many of us who are still stressing out about getting that final gift to purchase for our loved ones. We're thinking right now, which stores close early? What time is it? What stores are going to be open tonight? How long is this dude going to be talking? Because I got some stuff to buy, right? Like, how many of you, honestly, let's see, how many of you still have Christmas shopping to finish by a raise of hands? Quite a few, right? Yeah, see? It's a big deal. We spend a lot of our time and effort and money on Christmas. It's a big deal to us, which is great. But I have some stats I wanted to share with you. This is kind of funny, but did you know that the average adult in Utah is going to spend $781 on Christmas this year? That's the average. America's going to spend over $600 billion on Christmas this year. That's $1 billion, guys, 600 times. I went to school. Again, that one was free. $40 billion this year is going to be spent on Christmas for your pets. I read somewhere 7 out of 10 dogs is going to get a Christmas present this year, which is awesome. But hey, we love animals here, and I'm not judging any of y'all who didn't buy a present for your animals, but if you didn't buy a present yet for your animal, just go ahead and be honest and raise your hand. We're not going to judge you. If you didn't buy a gift for your present, how dare you, Rachel? You get out of here. We love our animals. My little Maggie, little Margaret Thatcher, she's going to get a beautiful bone this year. So here's something that they don't tell you at the register. Did you know that 10%, one out of every 10 Christmas presents are going to break before New Year's Day? Think about that. Within 1 week, something's going to break. I read 40% of the Christmas gifts that we're going to be giving this year will make it to March. And then a little less than a quarter, 25%, are still going to be intact by next Christmas. So if you do the math, that means America is going to spend $450 billion this Christmas on something that's not even going to last 1 year. I don't want to give away the whole message tonight if you're new with us, but I want to tell you about a gift that's free. And it will last you an eternity. There's no debating it. Christmas for all of us can so easily become the season of commerce. Spin, baby, spin. The season of buying the right things for the right person to show them that we love them. And you may be saying, no way, Jose. Jesus is the reason for the season. And to you, I say, my name isn't Jose, it's Brian. But okay, maybe Christmas shopping hasn't stolen away all of your affections. But let's go check out what your social media has been talking about this last week. I know something that's going to get you pretty much everybody. I have two words that'll prove my point. Star Wars. We're all aware this movie came out a little over 24 hours ago. The anticipation, the building up for this moment in our lives, we've cleared everything off of our schedules. Honestly, I am shocked how many people actually came to church tonight. But you're all smart, and you got most of your shopping done in November, and you shut down your social media, or it's called going black, so you wouldn't lose any spoiler alerts. And we've all got this do not disturb sign hanging from our foreheads in anticipation for this movie. Don't bother me, Star Wars, right? By raising hands, who in the last week has seen a post, read a tweet, or even you yourself has posted, shared something about Star Wars this week? By raising hands. Okay. The rest of y'all are lying. You know you did. I've seen more people check into a movie theater on Facebook that they were at Star Wars in the last 24 hours than anything I can remember. Now, honestly, I've seen some of the most honest and amazing Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christians check into the Megaplex in the last 2 days, and I've seen them post about their faith, checking into their own church or inviting a friend or family member to church in the entire last year. Watch how many people are going to hurry up and check in to the Rock Church. Okay. I see you, homie. I see you. I'm saying I'm guilty. But if a stranger were to scroll down your news feed, they would see that Kylo Ren is the reason for the season. A little BB-8. I mean, Star Wars is great. I'm not anti-Star Wars. It's fun. Be excited about it, okay? Christmas shopping is great. Do it. Enjoy that time with your friends and your family. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But if we are honest, there are just so many things that distract us around the holiday season. So many things that went over our affections this time of year. And my hope tonight is that I will do a good job of reminding us why it is that we celebrate Christmas. And I have three quick points for you. And then I'll get out of your way. You can follow along. You got a handout when you walked in. You can follow along. That'll help you keep you awake during the message. But we're going to pray, and we're going to get rolling, okay? Jesus Christ, we thank you. We love you. Thank you, God, that you would become man to save us. That, Jesus, you are the reason for the season. We are thankful for you, Jesus. And we are here tonight because 2015 years ago, you invaded our world, and you did something incredible for us. And Jesus, we will proclaim that truth for the rest of our lives until you come or bring us home. So Jesus, I pray for my friends and my family this evening that you would bless them and encourage them and that we would leave here changed. That Jesus, we would not neglect the weightiness of Christmas. So Father, speak for me, speak through me, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and do a mighty work this evening. And it's your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so if you follow your handouts, you got 3 points. You can fill in the blanks. Point one, quick one, is the purpose of Christmas. The short and simple answer to the whole purpose of Christmas is that wonderful song we all know and sing, Joy to the World. the Lord is come. The gospel, the good news. The purpose of Christmas is that God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, came into the world to save his people. So that's the whole point. That's that in history, 2,015 years ago, was the birth of this Savior, Jesus Christ. God invaded our world to rescue and to redeem and to save a fallen humanity. You see, that was God's plan from the beginning. And because it was God's plan, God accomplished that plan perfectly. The long-awaited, promised Messiah who was to come into the world had finally come into the world. Think about it. Every time you're at work, and you sit at your desk and you look up at your cat calendar, or you pull up your calendar on your iPhone, there's always this year that stares at you, right? It says 2015. That's where we're living, 2015 AD. Think about that. Everything in your life, everything that you're scheduling, organizing, planning, every event in your life revolves around this one moment in time where Jesus Christ came into the world and changed everything. Something happened in this little town that we sang about called Bethlehem that split the whole calendar system in two. You guys know it as B.C. or A.D. before Christ, and Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of the Lord. Every date in your life attests to this historical fact, whether you believe in him or not, that Jesus Christ came into the world. I was born on January 7th, 1,984 years after the birth of the Savior. John Stockton sent the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals on May 29th, 1,997 years after the birth of Jesus. I remember because it still makes me cry whenever I think about it. But you see, Jesus coming into the world changed everything. And I want to show you that it was something that was long anticipated. See, in the Old Testament, there was this promise. A promise that God's people were all anticipating, and they were longing, and they were hoping for. They were waiting for the day when their Savior would come into this world and he would rescue them. And this promise goes as early back as Genesis 3, and it's a promise that God will one day invade and intervene to save and protect and redeem his people. And Christmas is that promise coming to life, literally. And we get a good glimpse of that promise, of what that was going to look like in the book of Isaiah. And if you are old school, you can crack open your Bibles, but we got the verses on the screen. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 7, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That's a big ticket item, this word right here. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But he says the same thing again in Isaiah 9. "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." This kid's going to be a big deal, right? "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This kid's a big deal, okay? And there's our promise. The Bible's very clear. The Lord himself is going to give us this sign. Everything's about to change forever. And what's so fascinating about these verses is that, notice it didn't mention Jesus. I don't know how well you know the Bible, but these verses were written 700 years before Christ was ever born. That right there is just remarkable. This is a perfect plan drawn up by a perfect God. Then, 700 years later, after Isaiah wrote these things about the Messiah, an angel appears to this dude named Joseph, and he drops this bomb on him. He says, "Hey man, your wife-to-be, she's going to be the earthly mother of this Messiah that the whole world has been waiting for." And he says to Joseph, he says, "Your son, his name's going to be Jesus, and he is the one who will save his people from their sins." And then the angel, because he's biblical and he believes in God, he just requotes Isaiah. He says the same thing. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And there's that word again, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God's going to be with us. God will make his dwelling among us. And this baby that is going to be born of a virgin, his name will be Emmanuel. He is literally God. And he has come to be with you. And this is kind of neat. I want you to see this. We usually don't share these. We don't usually show these verses. John chapter 1 is usually not a verse you go to for Christmas story. But this is by the Apostle John. He wrote this book, this gospel, and he read these verses. He knew this baby, this Emmanuel, when he was all grown up. His name was Jesus Christ. And they were homies, okay? They were really tight. They were best friends. They rolled. They did everything together for 3 years. And listen as John gives us this account of just about how incredible this Jesus is, this Messiah who was promised to become. And now John uses an interesting word here to describe Jesus, right? We got the angel calls, his name will be Jesus, and then Isaiah says his name will be Emmanuel, which means God who is with us. And then John drops this word, he calls Jesus the Word. So it's pretty, this language is beautiful and powerful, but listen to what John says about his friend Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word, or Jesus, and the Word Jesus was with God, okay? And then this Word, Jesus, he was God. And then he, Jesus, created all things. And then in verse 14, boom, here's this Emmanuel, God with us language again. It says that this Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became, the Word became flesh. How did God become flesh? God came to us in the form of this little baby. Deity came to be with us. That is Christmas. Is that what comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? It should. Jesus is absolutely God. Don't let anyone ever try and tell you or convince you that Jesus is anything but God. You look at verses by the Apostle Paul, he concurs in Colossians 2. He says that this Jesus is fully God. Everything about God was absolutely 100% fully satisfied and pleased to be made known in this man. God became a man. He became a baby. So on Christmas, we do more than remember, reflect, and meditate on this innocent baby being born in a manger. We need to fix our eyes and our hearts on this amazing truth that God became man. I love what my homie C.H. Spurgeon says. He says, infinite and an infant, eternal yet born of a woman. Oh, the wonder of Christmas. Such a beautiful quote. Christmas is that time of year where we celebrate the day that God invaded our world. God put on human flesh. That truly is the wonder of Christmas. So that's the purpose of Christmas. The Lord has come into the world to save his people. Point number two, the significance of Christmas. Little drummer boy. You guys know that one. I have no gift to bring. And Christmas is significant. It's worthy of all of our attention. This is where Christianity is unlike every other religion or faith or philosophy. And to sum it up in one word, it's grace. No other faiths or spiritualities or religion truly have it. They have a list of things that you must do. This and that and then that. And then God might love you. And they're all a religion or a faith of work. And there are these certain rules and practices and dress codes and dietary restrictions and mandatory observances that all play a part in your eternal outcome. What you can offer, what you can bring to your deity or to your God, your lowercase God, can play a role in your eternal future. But Christianity, Christmas, is significant in this way, and it's grace. And Christmas is our case in point. Christmas is the proof in the pudding. Because Christianity isn't about us doing something. And honestly, Christmas isn't about us doing things for others. Christmas is about something God did for us. Amen. See, Christianity is not about how good we can be, how much we can clean ourselves up. It's not about the gifts that we can bring. It's not about the works that we can do to prove our goodness. No, Christianity is where we, like the little drummer boy, humbly sings, I have no gift to bring that's fit for this king. In Christianity, Christmas is significant in this way because it's the assurance from God that we don't work to prove or to show or offer anything to Jesus so that he will love us. Christmas is about what God has done to show us his love for us.
You might not see this verse at every Christmas message, but Romans 5:8 says, but God shows, or God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while you and I were in all of our mess, at our worst, in all of our sin, at our most vile and ugly and angry and hateful and addicted and depressed and unlovable, while we were still in that mess, Christ willingly still came into our world to live this perfect life for us and to die for us. We didn't deserve that. He chose to do such an amazing thing for us. Christian, you just missed your shouting moment. Look what Jesus himself says in Mark 10, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life. That's what makes Christianity, that's what makes Christmas so amazing. Jesus didn't come into this world to demand all of our gifts, all of your works, all of your works, all of your works, all of your effort. He instead gives us the best gift. He gives us his work. He gives us his effort. He gives us his righteousness to perfectly accomplish exactly what he came to do, to offer up his life as a ransom for many. That's what makes Christmas significant. Because it's not about what we should do. It's about what God has done. Christmas is about celebrating the best present ever, Jesus Christ. And he could be yours tonight. Which brings me to our last point. You were made to know God. You were made to know him. Charles Wesley has this amazing hymn. It says, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Christmas is about celebrating that fact, that truth, that you were made and that you can know God. Yes. And this God made himself known to us 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. God came to us to reconcile us to him, to fix the problem between us, the beef, the animosity between God and us, the separation between God and man, now because of Jesus Christ has been restored. And God did not have to make himself known to us. He doesn't owe that to anybody. God did not have to make a promise to save his people. God was not forced to act in love towards any of us to fulfill a promise. Honestly, I love y'all. But God got the short end of the deal when you start to look at the kind of people he saves. I mean, we're all proud and sinful and angry, and we're short-tempered and judgmental. We're not promise keepers. We break our promises. We're not perfect. We're sinners. But God is a promise keeper. He's perfect, and he's our Savior. I'm going to need your participation real quick. Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to sign up for any sort of like timeshare. But if you've ever been hurt by another person, I just want you to stand up. If you've ever been hurt by another person before, just stand up. If somebody has ever offended you, sinned against you, stand up, please. If somebody has ever lied to you, told lies about you, insulted you, made fun of you, talked badly about you to others, just stand. I want you to look around the room for just a second. Notice that's everybody. Everybody in this room has been hurt by another person. We all share in that. We have all been sinned against. And I want you to know Jesus came into the world for you. You've been hurt, and Jesus has promised that he's come into the world to heal the brokenhearted and to wipe away every tear from your eyes. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever hurt another person? Stay standing. Have you ever sinned against another? Have you ever lied to somebody? Told lies to others? Insulted, made fun of another, talked badly about another person? Stay standing. Look around the room again. Notice that's everybody all over again. We all share in that too, right? Not only have we all been sinned against by another, but we are all guilty of sin against others as well. And to you who have hurt and sinned against others, Again, Jesus came into the world for you. You have hurt others. You have sinned against others. And Jesus has come into the world to save you from your sins. You can sit down. There's more, right? Every sin we've ever committed is not only a sin against others or our own bodies and ourselves and our own spirit, but it's also a sin against God, against Jesus Christ. And God has written his law in our hearts. We all know right from wrong. You can look at Exodus 20, those Ten Commandments, very quickly will show you just how clearly and easily and willingly we disobey this amazing God. Just think about your actions, the things that we actually do, our thought life. Jesus knows. Jesus is God. He knows your thought life. So if that didn't sober you up tonight, he knows everything that you've ever thought. And our words, the things that we say. God knows all of that. We sin against God willingly, daily. We have all sinned against one another. We've all sinned against this holy, amazing God. And I want you to think about this, that this amazing Jesus Christ, this God who became man to save us, he has never sinned against you. He has never lied about you. He has never insulted you. He's never cursed you. He's never hurt you. He's never broken a promise to you. Jesus being God, listen, he knows every single thing about you. And Jesus still willingly comes into this world to show you, to display, to demonstrate his perfect love for you. Because you're valuable to him. You were made to know God. Like my brother Martin Luther says, looks like he got his Christmas present early. But look, he says, the Son of God did not want to be seen or found in heaven. Therefore, he descended from heaven into this humility and came to us in our flesh, laid himself into the womb of his mother and into the manger, and he went to the cross. This was the ladder that he placed on earth so that we might ascend to God on it. You see, Jesus could have perfectly just stayed away from us, just left us out to dry, just leave us to die in our sins, completely hopeless and abandoned. And he could have made the road to heaven this long, hard, difficult road. And he could have demanded that this impossible life of religion and working your way up to pay him back and becoming good enough to one day get heaven. But instead, no. We get Christmas. We get Emmanuel, God with us. God chose to lavish his grace on us instead. You were made to know God. And when God became a man in Jesus Christ, he didn't come as one who was unapproachable or one who was unknowable. He wasn't somebody that you and I, it was impossible for us to draw close to. Jesus wasn't this unapproachable rock star whose access was limited to only the most elite and religious and beautiful and wealthy. And when we read the Gospels, when we read the life of this Jesus Christ in the New Testament, it's remarkable who we see Jesus pouring his life into. Jesus comes to the sinners and to the broken, the sick and the lame and the dying and to the children and the orphans and the widows. And he says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. God comes into the world and he says, these people are valuable to me. And 2,000 years later, nothing has changed about Jesus Christ and his character. Nothing about his love has changed. Jesus today says to the broken and to the sick and to the addict and to the adulterer and to the thief and to the drunk, he says, you're valuable to me. He says to the single mother and to the insecure and the lonely and to the physically broken or the mentally challenged or to the deadbeat father, the depressed and the anxious and to the suicidal, he says, you're valuable to me. Jesus says to the intellectual or to the religious, to the irreligious or to the skeptic or the one investigating Christianity or to the loner, to the ignorant or the hard-hearted, unloving, unlovable, most proud and most broken, to you, Jesus says, you're valuable to me. You were made to know God. Do you know him tonight? Don't spend another year being let down by whatever gift you're going to receive this year. Chances are it's going to break by next Christmas. Instead of another year of wishing, hoping for something that won't mean anything to you by springtime, how about you, for the first time, consider this gift that lasts an eternity and saves your soul? His name is Jesus Christ. And throughout history, God has this amazing track record of giving people things that they don't deserve, and it's called grace. And you see, despite all of our sin and our shortcomings and our falling short of God's perfect standard, he still sees you as valuable to him. You matter to God. You can turn to Jesus. You can give your broken life to Jesus. God calls you to turn to his son. God commands, he demands out of everyone to turn to his son for forgiveness of sins. Turn from your sin. Trust in the Son of God. Do you understand that God loves you? You can respond tonight by giving your life to Jesus. Do you understand that you've been hurt and ashamed and sinned against? You can give all of your shame to Jesus. You realize that you've sinned against others, ashamed others, sinned against others. You can give your sins to Jesus. Do you understand that you have sinned against Jesus Christ? You can cry out to him to forgive you. Do you understand that this God became a man to save you? Run to him. St. Augustine says this. He says, "Awake, mankind, for your sake God has become man. Awake, you who are asleep. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. I tell you again, for your sake God became man." Amen. For your sake, friend, God became a man. God gives you a Savior. Every one of us in this room, we long for a Savior of some kind. Someone to, or something that will solve all of our problems or take all of the pain and all of the sorrow away or give us the most pleasure and fulfillment and happiness. And God says, "Here, this child was born for you. It is the most amazing gift of all time because in this gift, you get me," he says, right? He says, "You get God." Become a Christian. As we close, Jesus changed everything. That's history. Christmas is the true story that happened 2,015 years ago, and we're still bragging about it. This isn't a religious holiday, okay? Don't ever say that again. This is history. This is our history. 2,015 years ago, Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, the king of heaven, left heaven to this lowly place called earth, to be born in a manger, to then grow up and be nailed to a cross, to die for those he came to save. But it doesn't end there, because 3 days later, Christ rose victoriously. He conquered sin and death and hell and the devil, and he ascended to heaven, and the story is to be continued because Jesus Christ is coming again. God has promised us that. And if we know anything about this wonderful God, we know he's done an excellent job at keeping his promises. Become a Christian this evening. And for you who are Christians in this room, may you truly have a Merry Christmas as you celebrate Jesus Christ for how good he has been to you. And may you share the good news of your Savior's birth with whoever crosses your path. Like we've all sang before, like the kiddos did earlier, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, we love you. We thank you. You were born. You became man. Jesus Christ, there's nothing we can bring. There's nothing to say, but thank you that you would do such an amazing thing for us, Jesus, that you would save me. God, I know me real well. I'm the last person you want to be seen with, Jesus, and that you would save a man like me. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Jesus, for all the people in this room that you have saved and redeemed and purchased, that just by the blood of your cross, you saved them. That's the truth. And Jesus, we remember that even on Christmas when we celebrate little baby Jesus being born. We remember ultimately that God became man. Deity made his dwelling among us. Jesus Christ, we thank you for that. And Father God, I pray for anybody in this room who do not know you, that they have never cherished you, they have never run to you for their joy, that Jesus Christ, today would be the day that they run to their Savior. I pray, God, that you do an amazing thing by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would bring their dead selves to spiritual life, that they would be a new creation, that Jesus, that they would turn to you as their hope and their joy and their treasure. Father, we ask you would do that for them. Jesus, please let today be the day of salvation for our friends in this room who don't know you. We love you, Jesus Christ. We give our night to you. We give the rest of our lives to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.